Good morning. It's good to see everyone this rather cloudy but beautiful, anyway, Mother's Day morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. This morning, we're going to be looking at the family, but not quite in the physical sense that would often be honored on this day. If you would please open to Ephesians 4, we'll take our first reading from there this morning. I've been trying to figure out for the past couple weeks, what is it that I would preach this morning? I've got about 20 or 30 sermons I've written over the past few years that I could use, but most of them were written when I was at Woodmont, and at Woodmont, there's, you know, about 30 to 45 minutes I could use versus 20, which 20 minutes is a great challenge for me to work on being more concise and trying to speak a little more clearly, waste fewer words. But still, trying to follow up after the great meeting we've had this last week with J.R. Bronger, trying to figure out what a topic would be that would be appropriate to be uplifting, I was struggling. Even yesterday, I was still trying to figure it out. Until I went to a funeral. There's a young man at Woodmont who had been converted a couple years ago, and he had lost his brother recently, and then yesterday was the memorial service. There were a few of us from Woodmont who had gone to the service. We didn't know the young man's brother, but we knew him. And we had gone out of support for him to be there, let him know that, you know, we see your grief, we are here to help, we want to support you, we want to show that we love you as a brother in Christ. And after the service, the physical family of the brother had gone into the reception area and the few friends that were there. But between Woodmont and Westside, there are about 5 to 7 families represented. And we all lined up afterwards to all hug and talk to this brother of ours, brother in Christ. And while I was in line to, you know, say my few words and everything, what I saw made me really proud. It made me proud to see that there were all these Christians there for our suffering brother. And I get this kind of weird to say that at a funeral, but there's another time that makes me think of this, is that we had a neighbor who lived across the street. And he was in his 90s. My parents had always been giving him gospel-leaning flyers and everything, and for years. And finally, he was in his 90s. He called my dad and said, "I know my time is coming up. I need to make my life right." So at age 90 or 94, we managed to get this frail older gentleman, legally blind, into the baptistry and baptized him. And about, I think it was 8 to 12 months later, he passed away. And afterwards, his wife remarked that she had not seen such an outpouring of love from the church like Woodmont showed to her, his widow. At that time, she was going to a Catholic church. I think she may have gotten like one card from the church as a whole and maybe a casserole. Whereas the Woodmont family had brought lots of food, many cards, many calls. And it just makes me proud to know that we as a church often come together as a family for those who suffer. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is how the church is to be like a family, not just in the sense of when we're here as brethren, but outside the church as well. In Ephesians 4, we'll start off with Ephesians 4, verse 11. And this is going to be how we are to be like family, well, truly within the meeting times and without, outside. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. As a Christian family, we are supposed to be edifying one another, teaching one another. It is good to see that we have Bible classes in which the members show interest in the children, show interest in others by taking the time and the commitment to teach others. To take the time to help one another improve, to be edified. And furthermore, it is so great to see when there are times taken outside of the assembly, when you see that people will host studies, people will host singings, and other times for us to be edified by one another and to build each other up. In Hebrews 10:24, we see a certain motivation for this interaction, for this gathering. I think I said the wrong chapter. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the drawing near, or the day drawing near. And oftentimes when you hear sermons preached, the preacher will often cut off there, verse 25. But I think verse 26 offers a great explanation for this. In verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Now, one thing I've heard before is that in general, across the brotherhood, we often don't hear enough sermons on hell. It is a dark subject. It is not a joyful subject at all. But we should seek to have those studies on hell to remind us of what it is that awaits us if we lose our faith, if we do not do what we are supposed to do as Christians. And it is through those studies, it is through, again, that time of being with other Christians, of being edified by another's presence, encouragement, and the teaching to one another that helps us find that motivation to keep going. This is part of why it is so great that we have a midweek service. There are a lot of us who are in jobs that are merciless and unending in the difficulties we have as Christians. I know Rick has talked before, we're in the more or less same industry and working on equipment. That most of the people we work with and that we interact with are definitely not faithful Christians. Every other word is a cuss word. Every other joke is a joke that's not appropriate. And it is an endless barrage, day in, day out, of these things. But having that time to come together through the midweek is a great way to come together, to be recharged, to get that extra motivation of making it through the end of the week. And I know even at school, when I was going through high school, it was that same thing, just that endless barrage of all these kids who I got from elementary school, where everything was supposed to be good and kind and nice, to middle school and high school, where all of a sudden, again, that barrage of kids cussing, oh, look, I found a new cuss word, and they use it as much as they can. I still remember the time that I was walking through the hallways, and there are these two other my classmates walking ahead of me, and they are just cussing up a storm and talking about all these things that Christians should not be talking about. And finally, as they break up to the classrooms, they go, all right, see you at church tonight? Yeah, see you at church tonight. What? This is how Christians act outside of church? This is wrong. This is discouraging. But we should not let the actions of others discourage us. But otherwise, we should let the actions of our brethren encourage us. And in Titus 2, we see instruction on how the church is to act with one another. In Titus 2, verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. thankfully, growing up at Woodmont and then having been visiting Westside for years before we placed membership here, that is what I have seen throughout, is the older men and women at the congregations have always taken an interest in the younger, have taken an interest in being kind to them and instructing them, teaching their classes. For those who might not know, the Johnsons, for a while, had taken in an army of adopted grandchildren from the church. And they've done quite a lot for those of us who were lucky to be considered their adopted grandchildren. Sometimes it was just a, oh, hey, coming over for a party at our house, you know, for, you know, guys will have swimming or something, or girls later on, we'll have snacks, and it'll be a time for them to get together, or, you know, Jerry Johnson has also played field trip coordinator for some of the homeschooled kids, and taking those times to be around those children and to help impart what it looks like to be a sound Christian. And for those who are the preteens and teens here, look at what you're doing, because I promise you, someone is watching you. One of the little kids here, they're watching you. When I was at Woodmont, and I was probably 13, 14, and I was told that, yeah, my kid looks up to you, and they're watching what you're doing. What? Me? Who would watch me? Of all people, why me? But whether or not I believe I'm someone worth watching doesn't change what others believe. So watch what you're doing, because odds are someone is watching you and looking up to you. And you should want to be that example, a good example to those who are looking up to you. The next one I want to make is that we do take care of our own. Again, this is something that is inside the assembly times and outside. This relates to taking times to take a brother or sister aside if they're struggling, to say something encouraging. It could be to take someone aside when they have said something wrong, done something wrong, to say, brother, sister, I care about your soul. You've done this wrong thing. I don't want to be mean to you. I'm not trying to say this because I'm trying to say I'm holier than thou, but because I care for your soul, I want to make sure that you make things right. In Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And it goes on and on for other applications of how we are to be in general, especially with the general public that we see and that see us, especially those who see us and know that we are Christians, how we should be the light towards them. But these first few verses are great for how are we to be Christians to one another in our own family. How is it that we are supposed to treat one another? That verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Again, going back to growing up in Woodmont, they did this a lot. When there were deaths, you could bet that there were families who were going to be bringing food, who would be praying for them, who would be visiting them, who would be sending cards, that we would go to their funerals, that we would be supporting them, and that those who would have good times with the marriages and the weddings and the graduations, we'd be there too, supporting them, cheering them on. And that's how we should be as a family, is wanting to take a part in one another's lives, of sharing those highs and sharing those lows. Because we need to know that when we are doing good, our friends are there to support us. But also when we're doing bad, we need to know that we can count on our friends or rely on them and rely on our brethren to be able to help us through those dark times, whenever there's loss, whenever there is when there are those deep struggles. It is incredible to hear the stories of brethren when they go out of town, out of country even sometimes, and they suffer some sort of trouble, whether it be with their car breaking down, or perhaps with last year we had friends who got stuck in Europe when all the travel bans went into effect. But there are brethren that they don't know you personally. All they know is that you're a fellow Christian, but they take you in, they help you, they try and get you back on your feet, they try to help you with your car, and it is incredible to see the hospitality that is shown. And I've seen so many other times when someone says, oh, I need help with this, and oh, I was all alone in this. And I feel so sorry for them. But I take solace in knowing that if it had been someone who is part of the church, they would not have been alone. To see the kind of outpouring of love and affection shown by the brethren is important. And for those who are the new to the congregation, or those who have been searching and looking to join a new congregation, Westside is a great one. Like I said, we've only been members here for a few months now, but I've known this congregation for many years. And granted, no family, no church is going to be perfect and without any issues whatsoever. But this one is a great one to be in. There are a great many people here who take an interest in your soul, who take an interest in you, who want to see you succeed as a Christian, and want to do anything we can to encourage you and support you. And that's hard to find, and that is something I realize is a blessing to have being in a bigger city where we have that. I know in the more rural congregations where they're smaller, it's hard to find some of that same support and same outpouring at times. I'm thankful to live in such an area where there are multiple congregations that have this same type of family. Most importantly, as I was saying before, there's a difference between having the family that you're born into, that you have DNA with. By DNA, I'm an only child. By DNA, when my parents moved from Tennessee to Texas in the late 90s, they were the only ones here. They didn't have extended family to rely on and have support from. They were all in Arkansas, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Japan. They're out on their own. But I was talking to my mom a few years ago, and she said that moving to Texas felt like home. And being at Woodmont felt like home. And that being away from all their family, that having the members of Woodmont became like family. And sure enough, through the years, through different troubles and tribulations that we've seen as a family, Woodmont has been there every step of the way. I know I keep saying I'm proud of Woodmont because that's where I've spent 20 plus years at, but I'm trying to show a point with what I'm saying. It is through the church that even though I'm an only child, I have gained friends who have become my big brothers and big sisters and little brothers and little sisters, that I have gained grandparents. Again, most of my grandparents had died by the time I was born or a young child. When I call Jerry and Patsy Johnson grandpa and grandma, it's not because I'm trying to make a dig at their age. It's because they are truly like my grandparents. They're the ones that when I had grandparents' day at school, they're the ones that showed up. When we needed hospitality, they're the ones that were there. It's because of the church that I have gained family where I didn't have family before. And I'm so thankful for that. And I hope that there are others who can benefit from the same. But before we can reach that point of familial friendship, we have to first be part of the family that is Christ, that belongs to Christ. In Mark chapter 3, Mark 3 and 31. Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him, who him being Jesus, and called to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now I know that there are some who will take a look at this, and their first reaction is, like when you have those who are those rebellious teens, rebellious young people, who have been discouraged, and they leave their family, and they found a group of friends who they call their family, and they say, oh, no, this isn't my family anymore. And somebody say, well, is that what Christ is saying here? No, that's not Christ. He isn't trying to belittle his own blood family. What he's trying to make the point here is the importance of what it means to be a Christian is that those who seek to know Christ, who seek to be one with Christ, must be one that does his will. It is through his blood that we become family. It is through that blood that we become Christians, and that we do become family, and that we then share in one another's trials, that we do rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I'm trying to think of one more verse to use since we are running quite ahead of time. But that's the lesson for this morning. Is I'm just trying to mark the importance of what it means to be a Christian, not just for the sake of your soul and what happens in the life after, but for what it means for now, and for what it means to love one another and to support one another. And I also want to say that I know there are those who do not want to be burdens on their friends and their family and their fellow Christians. We've had friends before who would say, you know, they're in a nursing home or assisted living and they need a ride. And they have a hard time asking for rides because they don't want to be a burden. And I understand that completely. But there has to be understanding that just because you need something doesn't mean that you're a burden. Rather, the point is that you're not a burden. You're presenting an opportunity for your brothers and sisters to exercise that kind of Christian love and that Christian hospitality that we are required to give. You are not a burden, you're an opportunity, and we will happily do what we can to help you. That's what it means to be part of a church family. And I hope and pray that everyone here wants to contribute to that family, that I want to be able to contribute to being a part of this family and be able to be there for others, and be able to help when others need help, and to be able to encourage others when they need it. And I have no doubt that the members here will happily do the same for Cassie and I. In fact, you've done it before, many times. But that is the lesson this morning. As has been said before, in order to even join this family in the first place, you must become a Christian. You must be someone who is willing to put aside the goals and the alluring desires of the world and put Christ first, to hear his word and to believe it, to understand what it means to be a Christian and to be willing to sacrifice all for him. Because whatever we have on this earth is only temporary and has no measure against what we have for eternity. We stand ready to help and assist. We have a baptistry here. If anyone needs anything, whether it be to be baptized and become a part of the family of Christ, or if anyone has a spiritual need of asking for encouragement and support, please come forward now as we stand and sing.